Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Tuesday, October 20th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast, Democrats and Republicans Have to Go. All of them. Every last one of them. Which I think was the rallying cry for the Lebanese. Everybody means everybody. They all have to go. This country is tearing itself apart. Our politics are toxic. Our politicians are toxic. They all have to go. There needs to be just a clean slate. Now, that's not likely going to happen, but that's what needs to happen. Okay, we're going to get to some market performance. And of course, yesterday we were talking about more spending, put up or shut up, from the market standpoint, because there wasn't any type of major breaking news or any type of agreement with respect to another spending bill being agreed to by the Democrats, the White House, and the Republicans, because there's a little bit of a rift between the White House and the Republicans. Because all of a sudden, after spending several trillion dollars that we do not have, the Republicans are now all of a sudden concerned with the fiscal health of the country and are concerned with future generations. This is laughable on its face. The hypocrisy, what these guys do. But they do it to you. And again, our podcast several months ago, 96-0, no votes for America. That sums this up. This two-party system, which is really one, it has to go. Has to. Immediately. But as we were saying yesterday, there was no deal, so the markets sold off. And we said, well, you know, hey, one day is not a trend. And we were talking about overnight futures, which of course we're going to get to shortly. Well, they were already ticking up because there was conversation. Well, yeah, there is more conversation that the conversations are going to continue. Now, there was a deadline. Evidently, it was a soft deadline, a very, very, very soft deadline for today to come up with an agreement. There is no agreement. But nobody, the markets couldn't care less. Politicians couldn't care less. Oh, we're going to come up to something. Something's going to be agreed upon before Election Day or very shortly thereafter. Ba 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 ba. And the crackheads on Wall Street took the bait. Any justification to rally, use any headline possible. We're going to get more crack from our supplier, the U.S. government, a.k.a. the taxpayer. So they rallied, and that's what happened across the board on Wall Street. So I am sick and tired of these discussions. This is like Groundhog's Day. I was sick and tired of these discussions with respect to the U.S.-China trade talks and the administration pumping the stock market off of bogus negotiations, off of bogus headlines. And now we're doing it all over again with another spending bill. There's no fantastic trade deal. Phase one isn't even good with the Chinese. They, of course, aren't keeping their end of the bargain, surprise, surprise. And they have the perfect justification because of COVID-19. And then Trump wants to play the tough guy that he doesn't really care about the deal anymore. And maybe he doesn't care if the United States increases our exports and our business with the Chinese. So, you know, that's going to go either way. It depends which way the wind's blowing. But market performance, stock market like the fact that the politicians are going to continue to discuss. And Nancy Pelosi, as I stated yesterday, is fully aware of this, using this as some leverage, because the president uses the stock market as a barometer. So she can hang this over the president's head a little bit. And it gets him nervous, and it most definitely does, because the president comments on it. He tweets about it, going against the Republican Party that now wants to pretend that they have a spine and say, well, we're only going to, really, we want to approve maybe $500 billion. Trump change, right? In the era of trillions, $500 billion is Trump change. That would have been the bulk of what they came up with during the great financial crisis with respect to TARP, but now $500 billion is, you know, they can live with that. Of course, we don't have that either, but I digress. Nancy's in on the game, too. Yes, she can use this as political leverage over the president, because if the stock market should tank because there's no deal, and now the markets have to pay attention to reality, God forbid, well, then the market sells off. Well, that's not going to look good for President Trump 2 weeks away from the election, does it? But at the same time, I have no doubt that Nancy Pelosi is also reaping some of the benefits and the profits from this market manipulation as well. Because she holds individual stocks. They all do, which I think should be outlawed. Should be outlawed. They have too much insider information. They're the lawmakers. They know what's likely going to happen before the general public does. Whether a law is going to pass. Well, is that going to be good for a certain industry or bad for a certain industry? Maybe even for a specific company in either direction. And you can make money on either side of the transaction. Going long, going short. So our congressmen and senators, really anybody in government for that matter, should not be allowed to own individual securities. Equities. They should be able to own ETFs or index funds, and that's it. Not these individual stocks, because they all end up going in, maybe middle Americans, and then they come out, they're the top 1%. Public service, mind you, working for the people. Nancy knows what she's doing. They all do. And it's a joke. And it's just one more reason why Democrats and Republicans have to go. All of them. So today, the dollar took a little bit of a beating. And the dollar index is currently down now at the time of this podcast with a 92 handle, 92 spot 906. It was flirting with the low to mid 93 range, but it did crack that 93 handle. And again, 92 spot 906. So that is, again, some dollar weakness. And as I look at it here, pretty much across the board with some of the major pairs, the dollar is down against the euro, the British pound, the Aussie, Japanese yen, Swiss franc, across the board. And one of the ones to note is actually against the Chinese yuan, too, because the Chinese yuan is hitting a 27-month high against the U.S. dollar. Now, the headline is this is on the back of a firmer and more confident stance from the People's Bank of China, their central bank, and also off of some of the economic data that's been coming out of China, which, of course, is just ridiculous. I do not believe it at all. But this is an economic warfare scenario between the United States and China, in my opinion, and China wants to make their economy look fantastic to attract as much foreign direct investment as possible. And that's probably part of Thunder Thumb's strategy, too, talking up the stock market. It's going up, it's going up, it's going up, it's going up. Put your money in the USA, folks. Stand right up. Come on, right. Step up, step right up. Put your money in the USA. That's all this is. They're just trying to attract as much foreign money as possible to keep their systems afloat, because they're all going down, because they're all running the same Ponzi scheme. It's ridiculous. Again, which is why they all have to go. Overnight futures trading, we have the Dow Jones Industrial Average trading up about 0.5%. The S&P 500 is up about 0.75%. The NASDAQ 100 is up about 0.6% in overnight futures trading. The cash trade in Japan is up about 0.3%. A mixed bag across the pond in Europe. Notable decrease in the German exchange, losing about 0.9%, and a gain of about 1% in the Spanish markets. Cash trade in Australia, currently up about 0.1%. On the commodity front, we have crude oil, WTI, at $41.46. Brent is at $42.88. Natural gas roaring back up, $2.92. Won't be surprised if we get to that 3 handle in the not-too-distant future, especially if forecasts for a colder winter start really to come to fruition. Decent day for gold and silver. Both are currently trading up. Spot gold is at $1,918 an ounce. Spot silver is at $25.06 an ounce. On the bond front, to round it out, Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note is at 0.82%. So we have an 8 handle on the 10-year junk note here in the United States. So I, again, do not believe that these yields are going up because of growth. I believe they're going up because they're signaling inflation is on its way. Now, it's still early. This might just be a little blip. But then you also have to take into consideration the MOVE index, MOVE, the volatility index of the bond market, being at all-time lows, hitting an all-time low, what, a week or so ago? Is that the calm before the storm? Are rates, are these yields on the Treasury market, are they going to get out of control? Meaning, out of control from the Federal Reserve. Their ability to suppress them. Because that's what's been going on. That's why the volatility index with respect to the S&P 500 has been relatively muted, despite this massive rally that we have experienced since April, May. Same thing with respect to interest rate volatility being at an all-time low. This is all because of central bank intervention, suppressing volatility. How much longer are they going to be able to do it? It's anybody's guess. Your guess is going to be as good as mine. There's nobody that knows this unless they know behind the scenes and they're just going to pull, you know, take the pressure off and that's it. We're not going to know when that is. They might if they choose to do so. But if they choose to do that, that's it. It's game over. If the bond market blows up, that's all she wrote. Forget about the stock market. It's game over. And nothing and nobody is bigger than the market. So this day of reckoning, it's just a question of when. Not if, but when. Because it is going to happen. Because these are the same idiots in all of the respective governments and all of the central banks out there that got us into this mess. Now, all of a sudden, we're supposed to trust them and believe that they have everything under control? I don't think so. Not for a moment. But if you want to trust them, be my guest. But don't be surprised when you get what you get. And it's not going to be pretty. So that's some of the market news. So again, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the U.S. dollar and how that affects commodities and just the whole scenario, the dollar doom loop, or if it's a continuation of weakness and what that might mean more so domestically here for our fellow Americans. Again, your guess is as good as mine. The correlations are breaking down, as I said they were going to be. This is just pandemonium. Be diversified. Some other political news. Last week, but the ruling came today, as was the deadline, by the judge who was looking into it. I'm not going to go into great detail, but this is just another example of the president, Thunder Thumbs, playing tough behind his Twitter account. And then when he's actually called out, not so much. So last week, if you recall, with the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden story, whatever this is going to turn into, again, I'm not buying it. This is another little boy crying wolf as far as I'm concerned. If I'm proven wrong, I'm proven wrong, but I'm not wasting my time on it for the time being, but knock yourself out. I've heard too much crap for the past 4 years that nothing has come to fruition. I defended the president with respect to the Russian hoax and the witch hunt. This, I'm not touching this. From what I've seen and heard, I don't like it. So I'm not going to bring it up. But nonetheless, last week, President Trump talked about this and said, well, I'm going to release documents, classified documents. There's redactions. I'm going to remove those redactions. This was a tweet. I know there are more tweets out there than, you know, there are words in the Encyclopedia Britannica. But if you recall, this was last week. And, well, because the president said that this information was going to come out, people wanted to see it. So this ended up in court. Well, the lawyers for the government said, oh, no, Your Honor, that's not true. That wasn't an order from the president via tweet. He was just running his mouth. He was just talking. This is the government. This is for the government, for the president. And the judge wasn't having it. The judge said, uh-uh. You don't have that authority to release this information or to remove these redactions. The president does. So I don't want to hear from you, the lawyers for the government. I want to hear from the president. Now, the president didn't have to show up, but he needed to provide an answer by Tuesday. Today, that was the deadline. Well, wouldn't you have it that Thunder Thumbs, the strong man, buckled. I was just joking, Your Honor. I don't want to release that information. Now, the way that Trump portrays such information, and as he has done for the past few years while he's been in office, has been, you know, it's going to be a blowout. This is going to be the most, you're dead to rights information. And the deep state and the Democrats and anybody that he doesn't like and anybody that just gets his base all riled up, this is it. I mean, if there really is information in these reports, and if you can remove those redactions, and that information comes to light, and it exonerates you, or it shows a corrupt cabal behind the scenes or whatever, treason, sedition, whatever the case might be, don't you think the president would want to release that then? Don't you think that would be good for the country? For the American people to know what's actually going on, if that's the case? Well, perhaps it's not the case. Because when push comes to shove, and the president's asked by a judge, well, did you mean it or didn't you? Well, he didn't mean it. So again, another case of the little boy crying wolf. So we'll see what happens. Still a couple weeks left. And we still got his nutbag lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, still running around making claims. And again, this is reminiscent of what he did back during the impeachment earlier this year, saying he had all of this damning information, dead to rights, and none of that came out either. Going to exonerate his client being the president of the United States. But no, we went through the continuation of that debacle of an impeachment, which there were issues there, for those of you who have been with me, and, you know, but that wasn't going to come to fruition with him being removed because the Republicans were in control of the Senate, but I digress. But these are the same characters playing the same story 2 weeks before an election, and I'm just not going to buy it. Sorry. But another reason why these lunatics have to go, and of course that's the Democrats and Republicans have to go, is because we have a $27 trillion debt and climbing, $4.2 trillion budget deficit for this year alone, and that, of course, is climbing. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the total spending between federal, state, and local, and that was at $9.6 trillion. It's now at $10 trillion. All of this data, according to the USDebtClock.org, which cites and sources their data, which is from government sources. So, in aggregate, total federal, state, and local spending, $10 trillion and climbing. That represents 50.62% of our GDP. And this is all we have to show for it. 25.5 million Americans still claiming unemployment insurance benefits of some sort, even more that are off the rolls because they've given up. That's all we have to show for it. Millions of evictions waiting in the wings, a countless number of bankruptcies and insolvencies waiting in the wings, and with it, massive rounds of layoffs. This is what you want. This is what you're paying for. $10 trillion. We don't have it. We don't have it. We only bring in $3 trillion, assuming we have $3.5 trillion, assuming we have the type of growth that we had prior to 2020. I mean, this is ridiculous. Your taxes are going up to pay for all these shortfalls. And inflation's going up because that's how it's going to be made up. The difference is going to be made up through inflation, which is the most destructive and devastating form of taxation that there is. Pension funds underfunded. State budgets underfunded. How do you think this is going to be made up? Massive layoffs. Cuts to services. And that's not going to be it either. So that's not going to be enough to fill the void, to fill the hole. So that's why Crazy Nancy and company are trying to come to the rescue for the states. And the Republicans want to push back on that, saying these states ran themselves into the ground. That's their problem. Well, the corporations ran themselves into the ground too, but the Republicans didn't have a problem bailing out the corporations. Drop of a hat. Yeah, give them billions, trillions of dollars. Don't worry about it. But the states, they want to push back on. Interesting, isn't it? So your taxes are going up. Don't worry about it. What else do we have here? Spending bill continues. Yes, we discussed that. The vote count. Yes, the vote count. Let's get to a little bit of that. Some updates on the early voting results, right? Again, this is from Election Project. You can just Google Election Project. It'll come up. This is from Michael McDonald, a professor out of the University of Florida. I'll probably do a deeper dive into some of the data that he has maybe Friday, maybe next week, depending on how this week plays out, because we do have that second and final debate on Thursday evening between the president and Vice President Joe Biden. And of course, Thursday is also our typical data dump with initial jobless claims, Federal Reserve balance sheet, and money supply. So that'll probably fill our Thursday slot. Friday, depending on what happens on Thursday evening and Thursday, because that's supposed to be the new deadline with this spending bill. So that'll probably take up most of the time there. But we can do a deeper dive with some of these numbers as we get closer to Election Day. But early vote turnout currently is standing at 37.3 million votes. It's a huge turnout. That represents about 27% of the total votes as a percentage of the 2016 total. So there's no question in my mind, if we continue at this pace, we'll just about be halfway there. And some of the states, on a percentage basis, with respect to their 2016 turnout, is already at 50% or above it. Texas is at 52.8% turnout with respect to their 2016 turnout. New Mexico is at 40%, Arizona at 34%, California at 27%, Florida at 32%. Georgia at 41%, North Carolina at 39%, let's call it, Virginia at 36%, Pennsylvania, an interesting state with some other news out of there, 16.7%, Ohio is at about 25%, Michigan at 34%, Wisconsin at 30%, and Iowa at 36%, and of course, many, many others. But Pennsylvania is an interesting bird this week because the State Supreme Court of Pennsylvania has upheld it that it is constitutional, according to the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, that votes can be counted as much as 3 days after Election Day, as long as they are postmarked by Election Day, November 3rd. This case made its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. The vote was 4-4, so it was a tie. That means it goes down to the lower court's decision, which says, yeah, it's okay. We can count votes and accept votes a few days after Election Day, given the circumstances of COVID-19. Now, you can have your decision on this, your opinion on this. That's perfectly fine. My whole thing is, let's just stay focused on the Electoral College map math. Now, Pennsylvania is a battleground state. Pennsylvania was won by President Trump in 2016. He broke that blue wall, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. If Joe Biden were to win Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, it's game over. Assuming he holds all the other states that Hillary Clinton won in 2016, and he can even lose, I believe, Nevada, and he would be okay. Because, and I'm going to look it up right now as I have this on here. So if you hear some clicking on the microphone, it's just me clicking away to see how these states go. So if Joe Biden wins Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, he can lose Nevada. And he's still going to have 272 electoral votes. You need 270. So there's no question that this can turn into a cluster. And it can be a big cluster. But there's also the possibility that it's not going to make a difference. And if Joe Biden should win the state of Florida, which is a toss-up right now, he can lose Pennsylvania. He can lose Michigan. No, I'm sorry. I think I gave him Michigan in this one. Yeah. He gets Michigan with all the polls have him up pretty consistently, well above the margin of error. But anything could happen. Who did I give Michigan to? Trump. Yeah. So, if Joe Biden wins Florida, he can lose Nevada, Arizona, Texas, Georgia, North Carolina, Iowa, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, and Wisconsin. But as long as Joe Biden gets Florida and brings home Michigan, 271 electoral votes, he's the president. So, the president of the United States is the president. He can win. No question about it. If he wins, I will personally not be surprised. He can do it. I'm just trying to play the probabilities here, and it is not looking good at all. Now, the probabilities weren't looking good for the president either in 2016, but I had no doubt that that Donald Trump, candidate Trump, was going to win the presidency in 2016. I knew he was tapping into something. I could feel it. Hillary Clinton was such a terrible candidate. The stars were aligned for Donald Trump in 2016. They very well may be in 2020 as well. I just don't have that same feeling. And the analysis, to me, is it's a bigger uphill battle for the president this time around than it was in 2016. Joe Biden is not Hillary Clinton. A completely different candidate. Has his flaws. I'm not supporting him. Hey, Democrats and Republicans have got to go, all right? I am sick and tired of this two-party system, which is a one-party system at the end of the day. But the president really has to pull not just that inside straight. It has to be a royal flush. But he can do it. It's possible. But there are just a lot more pathways to victory for Joe Biden than there are for the president. And this sort of gets me back to the question that I have asked this audience for you to ponder for yourselves. Maybe a couple months ago. I don't know. Time goes so quickly. I said, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a President Trump with the Democrats at control of both houses, both chambers of Congress? Or would you rather have a President Biden with the Republicans in charge of both chambers of Congress? Now, looking at the data, it does not seem likely that you are going to have a red wave across the board. White House, House of Representatives, the Senate. I don't even have Republicans. I don't hear any of them. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you have an article or a video or something you want me to watch, send it to me. But I have not come across anyone saying that the Republicans are going to regain the House. Okay? So to me, it really looks like you got this as your potential outcomes. You have a blue wave. Biden's in the White House. Nancy is the Speaker of the House. Chuck Schumer is the leader of the Senate. God help us all. That's a possibility. Could have a split government. You could have President Trump win re-election. You have Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House. And you could very likely have Chuck Schumer as the new leader of the Senate. God help us all. I don't know which scenario is worse. I really don't. That's something I'm going to have to ponder, and it's something you're going to have to ponder as well. Because as the Senate races are looking, it really does appear that the Senate is going to move to the Democrats. Now, it's not going to be by a huge margin, at least it doesn't appear to be, but Republicans are pretty much giving up in Colorado. Polls in Arizona have been consistently for Mark Kelly, astronaut, who doesn't love an astronaut, Democrat out of Arizona. The race is tight in North Carolina, despite that sexting scandal with the Democratic challenger for Senate. The main contest looks good for the Democrat. Senator Ernst out of Iowa is in a battle, tight battle. That's a toss-up. Even Georgia, there are some questions. And then, of course, you have crazy Bernie Sanders and the other senator out of Maine, I think Senator King, who is an independent. Both of those guys are independents, Bernie Sanders and Senator King, but they caucus with the Democrats, so that'll give the sway to the Democrats. And of course, if Kamala Harris is the vice president, well, then she would also be the tying vote, the tie-breaking vote in the Senate if there was a 50-50 split. Oh, God help us. I'm trying to think here on the spot. I'm going to have to put more thought into this as to what would be worse, a split. Because if you thought it was bad now and that was when the Democrats were all over Trump, and there was a red wave in 2016. Democrats didn't even have control of the House. And they went after him like crazy. What do you think they're going to do to this guy if he wins re-election and they're in control of both chambers? How nasty this can get. And that's not justification to say, well, since that's a possibility, I can't have that scenario. I have to vote for the Democrat or somebody else. No, I'm not saying that. But that's a possibility. That might even be a probability. Do you know what that'll do to this country? We're already divided. What do you think's going to happen? How much more spending would Thunder Thumbs actually sign into law? Because he's perfectly fine right now, unless he's bluffing, unless he's lying. He wants a bigger plan than what the Democrats are putting together. Well, if he wins re-election, Democrats take both houses. Put something together, Nancy. 2.5, 3 trillion, 4 trillion. It's all coming back. It's all good. If 2 trillion's good, 4 trillion's got to be twice as good, no? Republicans going to be able to stop it? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But this is what we have sunk to. These are our choices. The demented idiots on both sides to manage the bankruptcy and the greatest depression of the United States of America, this banana republic. And it's not good anywhere else. But this is my country. This is where I'm focused. You have Joe Jorgensen, the Libertarian candidate, on all 50 ballots. Two-party system. Not going to let her voice be heard. Why would they? This is the banana republic of the United States. And a banana republic, that's what the powers that be want you to hear and see. It should be perfectly evident to you. Again, I don't know how many more pieces of evidence I need to throw at this audience to leave the Democratic Party, to leave the Republican Party. In a peaceful way, with a peaceful revolution, change your voter registration. I would advocate for the Libertarian Party. Make it independent, unaffiliated. Just leave them. Let it be known. I would ask for you to vote for the Libertarian candidate. Not because I view the Libertarian candidate as the panacea, but because this two-party system is tearing us apart. It has not earned our trust and respect, and it doesn't deserve our vote. Voting is not about winning. It's about standing for something. It's about having some principles. It's about having your voice heard. You really want 4 more years of Donald Trump and his behavior and his rhetoric? You think he's going to tone it down? Do you really think he's going to tone it down? You really want Joe Biden in there too? Guy who's been there for 40-some years? Very much a part of this mess? This is what the system gave us. Because this is what the system is. Garbage in, garbage out. Again, Libertarian Party is not going to be the panacea. Joe Jorgensen is not going to be the savior. But she can be an educator. She can wake people up. That's what I try to do with this podcast. But people don't want to pay attention. They don't want to hear it. They're too siloed in. They want Trump to go to jail. They want Hillary Clinton to go to jail. They want Hunter Biden to go to jail. They want Donald Jr. to go to jail. They want Joe Biden to go to jail. Is that what we want? Is that how we're supposed to behave? Locking up our political opponents, those who we disagree with? Thinking that half the country, whatever side you're on, makes no difference, that the other side, the Republicans, are going to burn your cities down, that the Democrats are going to destroy your cities? Is that what we want? Because that's what we have. You don't have to continue to vote for it, but I know most of you are. And this is just going to be further accumulation of data and evidence in my corner that states that the Democrats and the Republicans have got to go. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.